I use this, it's the first message I preached here, and I use this scripture. As a trial run, so I thought it might be fitting to go out on it. Well, we came down on Saturday and looking for a place to came out by here and to know where the church was, and then we went on over to Lagodi to see about making arrangements for a motel. In the meantime, storm and tornado had come through, and they were open, but they said, "We don't have any electricity. We can't even take your money." So we headed into Bedford, and we got in there, and it had come through there and just tore Jack up out there to 37 and 50, and some of those mobile homes may be out on the highway. Rain just pouring, somebody out there trying to direct traffic. And so we got on in and was able to find a room. Hadn't had anything to eat, I don't think. And so we headed on uptown, and lights was out from the storm, and finally found some kind of a little old convenient mart or something at station, and got some rolls for breakfast the next morning and some for supper, whatever, to snack on that night. So that was our introduction into this country. And there's been a few storms and a few tornadoes since, but it's been all right. It's been good for us. We don't have any complaint. Praise God. Found in 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Second Kings chapter 6. Again, reading at verse 1. "And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, Behold, now the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. He answered, Go ye. And one said, Be content, I pray thee, and go with thy servants. And he answered, I will go. So he went with them, and when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, Alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, Where fell it? And he showed him the place, and he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, Take it up to thee. And he put out his hand, and he took it." Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for this Sabbath day and for thy many blessings. You've been good to us. We give thee all the praise and all the honor and all the glory for thy marvelous grace, mercy, and help up into this hour. We pray your richest blessings upon this people. And in the days to come, we pray that the blessing of God, fire from heaven and revival fire, would burn in their midst. And my Father, may the ark go forward and the enemy be defeated. Lead, guide, and direct us. Anoint in the delivery of thy truth this morning. And whatever you do, we give thee praise, honor, and glory, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. It seemed like some exciting things were happening at the college, where the sons of the prophets were there with Elisha. They said the place is too straight or it's too crowded. Evidently, there had been some expansion and some increase in enrollment as time had gone by, and so they were keenly aware that they needed to do something. And you know, whenever something needs to be done, there's just one thing to do, and that's to begin to pray and begin to seek God and begin to give and begin to work. It seemed like many times whenever the world has a big project to put on and a big stadium to erect and things like that, it just appears, I don't know that it is, but it just appears that their funds are limitless and the support is limitless, and it just seems whatever the devil wants to propagate that way, it just that's the way that it is. But it seems like many times and generally the work of God, the only way that it goes forward is on its knees. As they begin to pray and as they begin to seek God and as they begin to move on, then the work of God. And you think, well, why can it not be otherwise? But no doubt God has ordained it this way. We'd become a spoiled people if He just dropped everything in our lap. If all the bills were paid and the work was done and all we had to do was coast along on the sideline in retirement, why then we'd become spoiled. But thank God, He helps us and He goes with us. And I have found as the load increases and as the battle increases and as the opposition increases, thank God, the grace of God increases and the glory of God and the help of God is poured out in a greater way than if I hadn't have had the obstacles and if I hadn't have had the difficulty. Thank God for that grace and that help. We noticed that as they said, well, we need to do something about it, and so it seemed not to being initiated necessarily on Elisha's part. It may have been the younger ones that initiated, and it may have been them that was feeling the squeeze. And thank God this morning for a church that God that gives us some young people and young married couples, and you're the one to carry the work on. Some of the old heads will soon be gone. Some of the rest of us will soon be history. Time just marches on. It doesn't seem possible. I was 52 years of age whenever I come here, and kind of well spent and not much left and heart trouble and so much against me, but that's been a long time ago. But some of the rest of you, God has placed some responsibility upon you. It's your responsibility in the days ahead to stand by your pastor and stand by the work and stand by the truth and to endure hardness as good soldiers and to go forth. Praise God. So we notice that they took their axes and began their way down to Jordan, and somewhere one old boy, either on his way down or he had was prepared for the occasion, he had borrowed him an axe. He wanted to get in on it too. You know, the experience that you have this morning is an entrusted experience. We don't have anything to brag about. It's not by our own close management, but it's the grace of God and the help of God this morning and what He's entrusted in our care. It is our responsibility to keep the handle tight and to keep the blade sharpened. We need to keep our devotions up. There's something about good habits that'll help prepare you on. I'm not saying, you know, that it's not always exciting to go to the place of prayer. I've had some exciting times in the place of prayer. I've had some great battles in the place of prayer. And through the humdrum of life, the song said, take time to be holy. And so we just know that's what we're supposed to do, and so we do it. We know that we're supposed to pray, and we're supposed to read our Bible, and whether we feel we're not regulated by emotions, but we're regulated by good habits and by what we ought to do. And so we're going to keep the handle on our axe tight and the head tight and keep it sharp. Then we're going to have to keep up our devotions, pray and seek God, and nobody else can do that for us. How many has lost out and grown cold and grown weak in their experience because they failed in their devotions? Well, we notice a tragedy happened here. As this one fellow, and I believe that he was inexperienced probably in his slinging of an axe. Used to be an old boy in the Ozarks. And this is no slam, Kimberly. But he talked about he said, well, that's a Baptist axe. It was two-faced, and so, you know. And then we had them. That was just one-faced, and you could hammer on the back of them. I don't know what kind of whether this boy had a Baptist axe or what else he may or may not have had. It might have been a holiness axe. Two experiences of grace. One saved on one side and sanctified on the other. Maybe that'd be better. Would that be? Okay, we like that better. But this old boy was slinging his axe and he lost the head. Now I want to say one thing right here. Young people, you'll have to give this fella E for effort. You'll have to give this fella credit because he was willing to try. And you don't find anywhere where the old prophet began to rail on him and said, if we had some experienced help around here that knew what they was going to do, that thing could have slid off and hit me in the head. Why on earth wasn't you paying attention to what you was doing? Couldn't you tell that that thing was loosening up on the handle? What's the matter with you? But we don't have any record of him chewing that young prophet out at all. The only way that people get experience is to do it. Amen. So whenever churches want a pastor that's got 30 years experience but 25 years of age, it's just pretty hard, Brother Sullivan, to come up with a fella like that. We want them young, but we want them full of experience. He was trying. Young people, there's going to be times whenever if you had it to do over, you could do better the second time, but you won't have the second chance. You want to do the best that you can the first time. But there's going to be times when you'll try and fail. But thank God he was willing to try. And older folk, it's our responsibility to pray for them and to hold them up. And we find that the prophet done something about the situation rather than just rail and criticize or find fault. We find that he corrected and done something about the situation. He knew when he lost it. He knew when he lost it. You talk about going by feeling, but I tell you, it felt different without the head on there. Now, there's some folk that don't want to acknowledge that, and there's some folk that'll try to go right on and they'll say, what would folk think of me if I was to confess that I've lost the handle off of my axe? What would they think if I've lost my experience? If I would go to an altar, what would individuals think? What do they think? Because you don't. I don't know what he may or may not have said other than he said it was borrowed. if human nature is anything like what it is today, the first thing, whenever something goes wrong, the first thing that goes through an individual's mind was, who had this thing last? Who used this thing last? What about the fellow that owned this thing? Didn't he know it laid out there in the woodshed for years and hadn't been used and hadn't been maintained and loaned this thing to me? It's his fault that I lost the head. No, you know, there wasn't any way that he could blame anybody else. He was the fellow that had the handle. He was the fellow that was using the axe. He wasn't able to blame anybody else. You can't either this morning. You can say, well, it was the old preacher, or it's that church down there in the valley, or it's this circumstance, or it was mom, or it was dad, or it was the devil, or whatever you want to do, and there may have been all of those things, may have had some bearing on it. But I tell you, it's our responsibility, our personal responsibility to keep the head on tight and the axe sharpened. It's our responsibility this morning. So he couldn't blame the owner. He didn't keep trying to chop. So, well, if I just kind of flail along here a little bit, maybe folk won't matter, maybe they won't notice, maybe they don't realize that I've lost the head off of this thing. He just quit. He said there's no need of keep professing, there's no need of keep trying. And it wasn't a matter that he'd just lost the keen edge. Individuals talk about losing the keen edge off of their sword, and he hadn't just lost the keen edge off of his axe, he lost the head. Another thing stands out to me was he knew where he lost it. Not only when he lost it, but he knew where he'd lost it. And he didn't look everywhere else. Maybe over here in the brush or over here in the bushes or somewhere else. But he said the worst thing possible that could have happened, that thing went off into the deep of the water. That's where it was. Individuals generally know where to look when they want to get back to God, when revival time comes and God begins to deal with hearts. They generally know where to begin to seek God and what adjustments begin to make. It's that thing that God had talked to you about maybe time and again. It's that restitution that God had showed you, and you said, well, I don't know, and maybe I don't, and maybe I ought to, and yes, I will do it, and but you didn't do it, and God still puts his finger right on the sore spot. The woman praying at the altar, trying to pray through. Finally, the evangelist said, if you was going to guess, what would you guess the problem was? I mean, you don't know, but if you was going to guess, what would you guess that it was? Well, she said, I would guess because it's my back tithe and because I'm not paying my tithe. Why, he said, sister, that's what I'd guess. Well, sure. It's not that hard. If he'd been as impatient as a lot of people, he'd have thrown the handle in right in after it and said, what's the use? I can't live it anyway. Try to serve God, try to do something down here constructive, and have lost the head, and so he just throw the handle in. But he didn't. Praise God. You can live it this morning by God's grace and by God's help. Just because you have a failure doesn't mean that you can't live it, that God can't help you. You don't quit because you have failure in everything else. About everything else that we try to do, sometimes it's by trial and error, and sometimes we fail. Wife's brother had a mechanic project on, and he was reaching up in a hard-to-get-to place and trying to get that boat started up in there. He said he worked by the hour. I don't know, hour after hour, trying to get that up in there and get it started. Finally, he got it started. And then he reached up in there with his air tool and slipped her on there and put the air to it. But he had it in reverse and he backed it back out. He said it didn't take as long the next time to get it put back in there. But he still claims to be a mechanic. He still thinks he knows what he's doing. And in every other area of life, individuals have made some great mistakes. But when it comes to the area of our soul, it's more serious this morning. But we dare not quit. He didn't throw the handle away. Said everybody else is chopping. Everybody else is being productive. Everybody else is getting something done. And here I sat. Just with the handle. Well, when that's the case, we need to get the head back on, don't we? Praise God. We need to get a live experience. And so he went to the right source. He said, "Alas, master," he said, "the thing was borrowed. It was entrusted to me, and now I've let it get away from me." He said, "Where did the thing fall?" And why the old prophet cut a stick down, I don't know, and throwed it into that thing. And the scripture said that the iron did swim. I used to think it did float. That wasn't what it said. It said the iron did swim. I was going to ask my wife before I come, is that what we would call an innate object? What? Inanimate object that's dead, lifeless, cold, doesn't have anything to it. But God, the power of God, was able to touch that something that was that dead and that cold and make that thing swim to the top. And it's a spiritual lesson. If God could do that, what about a heart that's beating, that's pulsating, an individual with physical life, an individual with all that God has entailed in our hearts and in our lives? How much more can He give spiritual life and a spiritual touch and cause us to be what He wants us to be? That thing began to swim. And perhaps the water began to splash. But it wasn't all over. He didn't just swim out on the bank like the old fish that had Jonah. The prophet said, "Get a hold of that thing. Take it unto thee." There was some faith and some works involved in this thing. Take it up. Take it unto you. He was glad to do it. Praise God, even though the splash over in his face and on him because of that thing swimming, but he got a hold of that thing, I believe with a real determination, "I'll never let you go again, except when I return you to the owner." Praise God. Got that axe head out of there and put that back on the handle. Somebody showed him how to fix some shims and maybe some hardwood or something else and drive down in there and tighten that thing up and make it secure so that he could get back in the harness and in the work of the Lord. Praise God. Let's stand.